You're listening to Underground Sports Philadelphia.
Alright, so we're about to go live. I'm gonna hit the button.
In beautiful West Vineland.
Two. What's going on, everybody?
What? Hey, we're live on time.
Live on time.
It's 12 o'clock on the dot.
12 o'clock. This is a first. I think this is a first.
Take that, Tyler.
Shout out to Tyler for being famous and not being here and abandoning us and letting us start on time.
Yeah.
But, we're going roundtable style today, because shout out to our lovely sponsors, Main Auto, LLC, and St. Anthony's Greek Orthodox Church's Greek Festival, because if you didn't notice, last Saturday we had four mics. We still have four mics. And
double the power.
We have a new team member chilling in the studio today. If you missed out on our special edition show on Thursday, we have a new guy in the building, Alex Ocasio, joining the squad.
What is up, everybody?
And we're going Hour of Power with Sixers Saturday and a little bit of Flyers afternoon skate.
I don't think Dylan wants to talk too much about them anyway.
Hey, I mean, the Flyers got two first-round draft picks, so we'll discuss some of that. But Saturdays are for the Sixers, and it's another authentic one because we have Game 3 to discuss.
Yeah, hold on. Before we get started, I just want to wish from everybody here at Underground Sports Philadelphia, Dylan, a very happy birthday.
Yes, it is Dylan's birthday.
Are you 23?
22.
Yeah. What a youngin.
Wow. Age 3. Couldn't tell.
What a youngin. But we have Game 3 to talk about. We have recaps of Game 1 and 2 that were just atrocious. And
don't know how much I want to talk about that.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. But so Game 3 tonight. 5 o'clock start.
Early start, yeah.
Early start, for whatever reason. And we'll have some around the NBA notes to discuss the rest of the NBA playoffs. And then, like we said, the Flyers have two first-round picks, and we'll dive into that with Dylan and figure out what they should do with those.
Yep.
So Game 3, we're finally home.
Thank God.
Shout out to all those fans who cried and screamed that they wanted the Celtics.
Yeah, right.
Instead of the Bucks, you got your wish.
It was a tough first two games. The first game was abysmal. Like, I don't want to talk about the first game at all.
That was just...
And the second game, I mean, if we had a couple players contribute a little bit better, like if Saric and Ben played better games, we win that second game and we go back home 1-1. So you know, it's a tough spot we're put in, but I mean, I'm still not freaking out.
Yeah, I mean, you saw last game, the biggest issue they had was they were just at the end there, they were just playing like really lazy defense. Like, I remember one play where JoJo just let the dude walk right by him and acted like he was going to block it but didn't do anything. You can't have plays like that, especially.
He was also in foul trouble, though, I think.
Yeah, he had five at the time, but still, I mean, at that point,
with that, there's still like 6 seconds left in the game. Yeah. Like, what's the worst thing that could happen? Like, you're trying to win the game. Like, I understand you want to stay out of foul trouble, but there's like 6 seconds left. Like, go all out and just, if you foul out, you foul out. Like, there's people that we've had this next man up mentality all season. So, if you foul out, you foul out. But I think in that situation, shouldn't have been worrying about that. And
you can't put all the blame on JoJo.
Oh, not at all.
Of course not.
Ben had a point, which,
Ben scores 6 more points, we win.
Yeah. So, you know, we have heard a lot about that over the course of, from like today since that game 2, when was that, Wednesday? Thursday. Thursday. So since Thursday, you know, all we've been hearing on Twitter and in the media is that Ben is having a crappy game. Is he really overrated? Have we talked up Ben to the point? No, we have not. You saw what he did in the regular season. He had a bad game. Don't freak out. And then the other thing, you brought it up. A lot of Sixers fans already jumping ship after one bad game.
Yeah, it is ridiculous, man. It's like you knew this was going to be a tough series. I mean, it's Boston, people. Like, this isn't just your run-of-the-mill. It's not like we're playing the Dallas Mavericks or anything like that. Like, this isn't only a playoff game, but this is a rivalry that we've been going through for
years. They're the two seed for a reason. They won 55 games not because of luck. And, I mean, the only player they're missing is Kyrie from – you know, the same team that won those 55 games.
Yep.
So, you know, they're there for a reason. It's not that, you know, they're a really crappy team. We did say, yeah, they're a hospital ward, let's bring it on. But, I mean, two games in the TD Garden is tough. Yeah. Especially, like, the first game after coming off a six-game break. And then the second game, with the fans getting in your heads, you're already down 1-0. You have the pressure on your back to, you know, split the away series. You know, that's it's not the best when it comes to the Sixers. But now we're home. You know, we really rarely lose when we're at home. And I'm feeling good about today. Not as good as I normally feel, but I'm feeling good.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that just comes with being down 2-0 in a series. You know, you really wanted to see them come away 1-1 in those first two home games. But, you know, this is, you know, your typical Philadelphia scenario. People are sleeping on us, you know, underdogs. So they just got to go out there and prove that, yeah, we're meant to be here in the playoffs. And they really need to come away with a 2-0 at home. If not, you know, it's probably not looking good. But I have no doubts that this team is going to pull their weight and find a way to come away with these victories.
Yeah. What do you think, Kyle?
I didn't get to see game two. For the most part, I was getting the GIF updates from you in our group chat because I went to go see Infinity War, which if you haven't seen it, go see that movie.
Amazing.
I need to go see it still.
You'll reevaluate your life for 3 hours after the 3-hour movie.
Yep. Don't spoil it.
No spoilers, but...
None whatsoever.
You'll just reevaluate everything.
Yes, I am the minority that still has not seen it.
Dom, how have you not seen it? It's grossed the most money in an opening weekend for a movie ever.
Past Star Wars.
I don't go to the movie theater.
Usually don't either.
That's true.
I don't go to the movie theater.
It's expensive. You know.
That's the first movie I've been to since like Star Wars.
I spend my money on video games and food.
Yeah, that's...
So, I mean, I can't...
Preach.
I don't really do much else.
Maybe once everyone sees it, we'll have like a Infinity War crossover with Philadelphia Sports
Show.
We can
add it in as a little extra.
Rundown.
So... I want to bring something up. What do you guys think of all this rookie of the year blasphemous talk that has come up recently because Ben had 1 point in a game?
Yeah, well, all those people who are talking can, I guess, suck it now because...
Whoa! This is a family show.
Who had 2 points last game? Had like 2 points. Donovan Mitchell didn't do anything last game, so you know.
You talking about yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday. I don't forget when the game was, but he didn't do much. You know, like players have bad games. You know, this is a playoffs, and these are rookies. They've never been in this environment before. It's gonna happen.
That's like last night with the Pelicans game.
Yeah.
The Pelicans are down 0-2, and then they convincingly win.
Yeah.
But it's you can't say anything from it. And then going back on to the point of. What you were saying, last night, Donovan Mitchell gets 10 points on, like, I think 16, 17 shots, something like that, if I'm not mistaken.
He wasn't shooting very well.
He had a minus 31.
There you go.
Minus 31. Ben had 1 point and still had a better plus minus. Granted, it was still, like, minus 20-something, but still, that's one bad game. And Donovan Mitchell supporters will probably be like, oh, that's one bad game, too. Like, okay.
There you go.
You basically just contradicted yourself. Don't get me wrong. Donovan Mitchell, a great player. Like, really scary good. Like, he's really, really good, but that doesn't put away the fact, like, what Ben Simmons did this entire season. Again, Rookie of the Year is a season award. It's not a playoff award. That's what playoff MVP is for. So get your facts straight. Deal with it. Ben is a rookie. And the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
And Ben Simmons is our rookie of the year.
Absolutely. Majority's rookie of the year.
But like you were saying, like my thoughts on everything that's happened, like I didn't get to see game two. I was like refreshing my ESPN app to see the score and what was going on, and I had Tom McGinnis on in the car on 97.3 listening to the game. And then game one was just – I just wiped that from my mind because I just want to pretend like it didn't exist. But they need to be cleaner on defense.
Yeah, absolutely. Dude.
They're getting killed on the fast break, which I never thought I would say.
Celtics kind of run the same kind of offensive scheme that the Sixers do. Brad Stevens is a great coach. He understands the game of basketball and like the way the game is evolving and what's hot in the NBA right now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they shoot a lot of threes as well. You hear that if you're watching the games, they say the same thing. You know, these two teams shoot a lot of threes. I would say a majority of the teams left in the NBA playoffs on both Eastern and Western conferences shoot a lot of threes.
Yeah.
The successful teams shoot a lot of threes. That's why you see Cleveland beating Toronto, because Toronto isn't the best three-point shooting team. They get a lot of slashing and dishing out to their three-point shooters, but DeMar DeRozan is not a big threat from the perimeter. Right. He's a threat from mid-range. They have a lot of big guys. They don't really only have like one or two shooters that I really know of. Cleveland is LeBron plus a lot of guys standing out on the perimeter and a big man. So it's like obviously Cleveland's going to be shooting a lot of threes, but LeBron just has them on their back.
Exactly.
And Kevin Love helped last game too.
Yeah. The only team that really doesn't – they have three-point shooters, but you don't see them like playing the three-point – like the prototypical three-point offense in the NBA is the Pelicans.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still scary good because they have a top five player in the league.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
and they have playoff Rondo.
Playoff Rondo is – I will always stand for playoff Rondo.
Dished out 21 assists last night.
And what, he has like 2.5 points or something like that?
Yeah,
like,
4 points, 21 assists, and 10 rebounds.
Yeah, he gets a double-double without having to score. Like, that's amazing. I'll always stand for playoff Rondo. I love the little going back and forth he has with Draymond Green. I think Draymond Green has met his match with like the pettiness level in a playoff game now. It's absolutely great to watch. That's like my second favorite series next to the Sixers series right now. Obviously the Sixers is my favorite one, even though it's not going to plan.
It should be, but we'll get there.
The thing about game two regarding the Sixers, we played really, really, really well in the first half.
Yeah.
We 21'd them. It was easy.
20-point lead.
And the third quarter woes that we've been saying are gone showed up, and it was not fun to watch.
It was crazy not fun. Looking back at that game because we out-rebounded them, had more assists than them. I was looking at the stats earlier today, and we still lost that game. Usually when you do things like
control the boards and stuff, you normally win.
I think it just goes to show you that, like, whatever happened at the end of that, at the end of half, like, after the half, you know, was really our downfall. I mean, you could see, like, I don't know if they got too comfortable. It looked to me like players weren't hustling as much as they should, other than White Lightning himself, TJ McConnell, who is the heart of this team.
You bring up a good point. Keep going. I'll save it.
If anyone, like, if the entire team hustled as much as that kid was hustling that game, there's no way we're coming out. There's no way we're losing that game, you know? You've seen one rebound. I remember they shot a three, and it went straight up in the air, and you just see, like, JJ just, like, jogging underneath the rim. If that was TJ, he would have immediately cut underneath the basket at, like, what is he, like, 6'1"? Yeah. And he would have tried to get that rebound.
Six,
like,
maybe 6'2".
And that's he's the playoff mentality you need.
Actually, no, TJ may be 6 foot flat.
Yeah.
Like, he's short. You bring up a good point about the hustle with TJ, which brings up another talking point that a lot of people were arguing amongst themselves in Sixers Twitter, was should Brett have taken that timeout? But also, should Brett have taken TJ out and put Ben back in and have him use this as a learning experience when you had TJ in there, he's fighting and hustling hard, and they're actually coming back. You know, we were down, what, like 12, 15 points, something like that, and TJ comes in the game, and we're under double digits. It's a single-point lead. We're fighting back. And you want to take that out? You want to kill that momentum? No, this is the playoffs. We're here to win. We're not here to use this as a learning experience for our young guys and bow out in the second round. No, we're not doing that. If TJ's the best option for the time being, keep him in. Don't call a timeout. Don't take him out and replace him with Ben in the middle of this momentum change. Don't do any of that. We're here to win games. We're not here to do anything else. Ben can learn that in the off season. He learned that, you know, finishing games in the regular season, because people brought that up about Brett Brown in some losses. Why'd you keep Ben in if they're having bad games? Like, this is different. It's a completely different beast. I don't know what you guys think about it.
Yeah, I mean,
but that's just me. That's it. I've been pissed off the last few days because of bandwagon Sixers fans thinking they know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I'm kind of split on that whole thing, because I do feel like if that is your future, you got to let him learn from his mistakes. But at the same time, I was also upset when they took TJ McConnell out. I felt like Ben, while he's your point guard, he is 6'10", so you can virtually put him anywhere on that floor. You could have kept TJ in and taken somebody else out at the time. I understand you have, like, they're both technically ball handlers or anything like that, but you
that hurts the offense a little bit more.
You shouldn't have taken TJ out, is the point, especially when that dude was giving you everything he had for, what was he in there for, like, the 6 minutes that he was in there or whatever.
You know who needs to be taken out and kept out? It was Dario Saric. Good God, the last two games he's been awful.
He did not look confident.
Ersan needs to take his minutes and start and beat an Ersan, you know, with Ben Covington and Redick, gives you a fairly good defensive lineup, and you can score the ball. And there's really no reason that Dario should be playing this bad, which is why I say to bench him and, you know, give him a reality check. Also, you brought up that point, you know, make Ben learn from his mistakes. You know how he learns from his mistakes? Keeping him on the bench.
Yeah.
He's a guy that wants to be in the game. You see what I'm saying? You said that, you know, to put Ben in and take somebody else out because he wants to be in the game. Well, he learns that by sitting on his ass on the bench. And then when he comes back in, well, yeah, but that's a completely different, you know, argument that we could talk for hours on. But, you know, you bring him in the game, and the next time, or you keep him on the bench, and the next time he comes in the game, he knows he needs to be a little more, you know, careful with, you know, his decisions and, you know, punctual with his play, because he could be taken right back out and TJ gets put back in. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't even see Fultz, but you saw how TJ was playing. There's a reason why he's playing over Fultz right now. And there's a reason Ben was on the bench.
Yeah.
I commend Brett Brown for what he did. I think, you know, he understood what he needed to do. You know, I really don't question his decision too much, because it always seems like in the end, Brett Brown's decisions are, you know, the right thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, they're still such a young team, including Brett as a head coach. Like,
yeah.
Brett wasn't winning for 4 years. Like, he's learning with this team, and they're learning as a unit. So, like, there's going to be growing pains, even in the playoffs still. Like, this is Ben's first, you know, playoff appearance. This is Joel Embiid's first playoff appearance. There's only, what, like, four guys on this team that have even played in the playoffs before?
Yeah.
Amir Johnson, Ersan,
JJ,
and Bellinelli. Like, your role guys are the only ones that have ever seen playoff time, and two of them have only ever been to the finals.
Yeah.
So, overall, they're a really inexperienced team.
It's a tough
environment. It's showing right now. And, you know, they just have to go out tonight and in game four and really just take control of the home court, get it back to 2-2, and then it's like a brand new series, best of three.
Exactly.
And you just take it from there.
I think go ahead.
My bad. I think people are really underestimating, too, like, how important playing those first two games in Boston was for the Celtics, because Boston as a city, you know, like, they're no pushovers. Like, they're just like us in Philly, you know. They don't take no crap, you know. They're hype. That's why I feel like you're going to see tonight, like, Boston showed us what they got, but now you're going to see the city of Philadelphia and be like, all right, well, now you're on our turf. And this is going to be a different story.
It's very hard, you know, when it was the Boston Garden, when now it's the TD Garden.
Yeah.
They're a basketball town, mm-hmm. you know, for as much as you want to talk about it being maybe a hockey town. you know, or
sadly they're good at a lot of sports.
Yeah, you know, you want to
they're good at everything.
Yeah. You know, baseball town or whatever.
Football
or, you know,
for sure.
Yeah, with the Patriots. But like it, when I think of Boston, I think basketball. Yeah. The Celtics are such a storied franchise in the NBA. They have what 16 titles or some 17 something like that. Somebody can fact check me on that. But, like when I think of it, it's a basketball city. So you go there. The fans are going to be rowdy. Yep. They maybe not have the best choice in, you know, playoff T-shirts. However, you know,
cuss cries.
Yeah.
I fact checked for you.
17 titles.
17.
The okay. Bruins have 6 cups. Celtics have 17. Patriots have 5 Super Bowls, and the Red Sox have 8 World Series.
Wow, well, must be nice.
Jeez.
Yeah. So Boston's a sports town. Yeah. However, yeah. You know,
but they don't have 2 titles this year.
Yeah, because yeah. The Eagles won the Super Bowl.
Villanova's the national champs.
The Bruins might lose to Tampa Bay, so that could be another team.
And the Sixers could knock them out of the playoffs. So, you know, however, you know, when I, again, like I said, I think of basketball and I think of Boston, the TD Garden's a hard place to win.
Yeah,
absolutely. Away from home. It makes it easy on the Celtics. Just like, you know, playing at the Wells Fargo Center makes it easy for the Sixers, just like you said. And you're right. They're going to see what we mean. We mean business. You know, we've been so, you know, spoiled with home court advantage for the playoffs. Yeah. So, you know, taking 2 games away, you know, the first 2 games when you first meet the team, that's hard. That's hard to do. So, you know, I'm confident. I think we do win these next 2 games. I think, you know, it's fairly good. And then when we go to Boston, you're going to see a different Sixers team for Game 5.
And that's what I'm saying. It's not like they were getting blown out, like the score last game. They only lost by 5 points in that type of environment. So you see, like,
after going up by, like, 25 in the first place as well.
That's
so
true. I mean, that, you know, and it sucks seeing that because you start having flashbacks and everything to, like, last couple years when they would just blow 30-point leads in the third quarter, you know. But,
yeah, no,
let's hope that was just a ghost of the past.
Wow, Kyle.
Shots fired.
No, but see, the thing is, like, normally in games like that, when you're up by so much and you have that sort of, like, breakdown and give away a lead, you normally lose by more as well.
Yeah.
You know, they come back from 20 really fast because you can score a lot of points in a short amount of time in basketball.
Yeah, I was listening to WIP yesterday with Joe Giglio, and he was saying, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you're up 22, you're winning that game. Now, that's like a 4, 5, 6 possession game.
Yeah, that's nothing.
And you're back to,
especially against a team that shoots a lot of threes.
Exactly.
You know, you go up against,
that's the NBA now.
We've seen it when the Sixers have played the Warriors in times. We've been up by 20 points against the Warriors.
Exactly.
And the Warriors come back like this because
They can shoot
threes. Yeah. Just like Boston. Terry Rozier knocks a couple down, and the rest of the team feels confident. Terry Rozier is a legitimate basketball player. You know, I was saying this when we had our pregame before game one. I am still saying it now. The biggest surprise when it comes from the Celtics standpoint is the way that Al Horford has been playing for them.
Exactly.
He's no slouch. You can't deny that. You know, he's a very, very good player. He's been in the league for a long time. But with the way he's been performing,
he's been
playing something that the Celtics average, I think, 1.59 points per possession when Embiid is on Al Horford, which is insane because Embiid is such a defensive presence. But Horford's just scoring the ball. Yeah. He's shooting threes and at a high efficiency rate.
Not only that, Jason Tatum, man, player to average 20 plus points in most of his playoff games, I think,
is
Larry.
And this is the thing, you know, you have Dario Saric on him.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah.
Tatum's having his way with him. But it sucks because you have to put Covington on one of 4 different threats that they have. Covington's either on Jaylen Brown, or he's on Tatum, or he's on Rozier sometimes when Ben's out of the game. And, like, what do you do? Because the Celtics have all of these threats, and you know, the Sixers pride themselves on their switching defense, which we've seen in game one. It was awful. Game two, they did a good job until you know, the end of the game. It's tough, and it only makes it easier on us a little bit because we're at home.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, you know, that the crowd comes ready.
That's going to be the biggest thing. Is can the home court advantage really play a factor into getting the Celtics off their game? Like,
yeah,
the crowd, the fans have to bring it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
it's got to be Seahawks in Seattle level. It's got to be Eagles at the
Wing. It's normally like that.
It is, absolutely.
The Warriors fans in Oracle. It's the same thing.
Kansas City Chiefs even, you know, breaking, you know, decibel records. Like, it's got to be – they got to blow the roof off that place.
However, I'm starting a petition soon to ban – Kevin Hart from standing out of his seat and sitting courtside.
Kevin, the most.
Like, for as much as Meek Mill is like the talisman for the Sixers, Kevin Hart is like the anti-talisman.
Like, he needs to be cursed.
Meek Mill is blessed, and it sucks.
He needs to be sitting in nosebleeds with duct tape on his mouth because it's just ridiculous. Like, shut up, sit down. You're not Spike Lee. Stop trying to be Spike Lee.
I mean, you can get hype. I think the biggest issue he's having is he's getting them too riled. He's getting the Boston Celtics too riled.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like,
they got Dwayne Wade riled up in game one, and then we get killed in game two.
You do it at home, and the worst thing is that you can get one player riled up like he did with Dwayne Wade.
Now you got a whole team riled up.
Now you do it away in a different city stadium, in a stadium with a great fan base, like, even though they suck. Like, I hate them, but that you can't deny they're one of, like, the most popular or best fan bases. Yeah,
absolutely.
In basketball.
We may hate Boston, but
there's no denying that. If you look at the top five fan bases, Philly's up there, and so is Boston.
Yeah, there's a lot of respect for that.
So,
city.
You know, you get them riled up, and you talk all this trash, and you know, you're laughing when Tatum, Jaylen Brown airballs a free throw, and then, you know, we hit a three and you're going like this and putting them in your pockets in front of fans and telling them to shut up. That's only going to get them more hype.
Exactly, and they're just going to look at that and just it's bulletin board material is pretty much what it is. Like, they're going to just go in there and make a fool of Kevin Hart because he thinks that he's making a fool of them, and I'm a Kevin Hart fan, but, like, dude,
I love Kevin Hart.
Yeah, you gotta relax.
You gotta sit down.
You're the man.
Let the players play, and stop motivating the other team.
Yeah, we're not saying don't get hyped.
You can celebrate, but don't get
in people's face.
Exactly.
Like, don't start pointing at people, bro.
Stop trying to be Spike Lee light.
Going too far.
Just golf clap next time, Kevin.
Shout
out to Matt, who's not here right now, but I just refreshed Twitter and he put a very funny tweet up. Kanye West tweeted, "Take a walk outside, fresh air is healing," and Matt quoted it and said, "Bro, it's allergy season. The air is literally burning me." Matt, I agree.
Yo.
I'm allergy my season. Eyes right here are still kind of watery, and it sucks. My nose is running. I got tissues in my bag.
Yeah,
I agree.
That time of the year.
And I just got a little notification. I don't know how important this is, but the Hawks have interviewed 76ers assistant Lloyd Pierce for their head coaching vacancy, according to Woj.
Sorry. At least he's not, but, you know. We got Brett Brown.
Brett is Pop 2.0. I'm sorry if anybody wants to disagree or say, like, Brad Stevens is. Brad Stevens is a great coach, but he's not Brett Brown.
And also, I know that this isn't really, like, Sixers related or anything like that, but I forget what team it was. It might have been the Jazz or somebody were looking at interviewing a Spurs assistant.
The
Bucks were looking to interview Becky Hammon, which would be crazy because it would be the first female head coach in the NBA in NBA history.
I think she's a good coach.
Yeah, she Becky knows
Hammon
her stuff.
Was, like, a legend when it comes to playing in the WNBA, and she knows basketball.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
She worked under Pop as well. Mm-hmm. You see how well Brett Brown knows the game of basketball. Yeah, Becky Hammon knows the game of basketball.
As much as we can't stand the Bucks, like, I'm all about it, and I think it's an awesome decision.
Absolutely.
Knowing the basketball mind, knowing the game of basketball is genderless. It doesn't matter. So
exactly.
If a female wants to coach the men's game...
Truthfully, I think it's in any sport. Like.
Yeah. You see, Gino Auriemma coaches the women's game in the NCAA, and he's dominant. Like, why can't it be
vice versa?
So,
yeah, exactly.
That was a nice little point to bring up. I like that. You know, I'm all for it. If she gets the chance, you know,
I'm intrigued to see what she does.
Into a team that, you know, is almost there. You know, as a organization, mm-hmm. even though they really don't have the biggest identity. Their identity is Giannis, and you kind of build around him. And they have to really make themselves, you know, have a kind of style identity instead of worrying about just, you know, stopping Giannis, because that's what Boston did.
I mean, Chris Middleton's also really good on that team, too. I think they have...
No, don't get me wrong. I'm not sleeping on Middleton. Like, you know, they have Middleton. Jabari Parker, when healthy, can, you know, be, yeah, you know, kind of disrupt... Yeah, he's kind of a threat. You know, he shoots a lot of long twos, but, you know, that's not my favorite kind of basketball play. Yeah. But, you know, Malcolm Brogdon can play well when he wants to, you know, even though I don't like speaking his name.
Not my rookie of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely not.
Yeah. But, you know, the Bucks need to find themselves an identity. I think Becky Hammond could do that. That would be kind of cool. Yeah. So I'm all about it. Dead silence. This would be a perfect time to plug our sponsors.
Yes. So shout out to our, I guess, Keystone sponsor, Main Auto LLC. Yeah. They're family owned and operated since 1990. They're open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. They do complete, you know, auto repair, and they do light truck repairs. If you need anything done, I got to go get my oil oil change soon. I got to get my mirror fixed from when somebody smashed it on Black Friday.
That sucks.
Yeah. So I got to go get that fixed, and I'm going to be heading over there soon. So I know Dom's going to be possibly heading over there soon to get his car checked out.
Yeah, my car needs a lot of work.
So... tell them we sent you. Head over there, and they'll definitely take care of you, especially if you mention that Underground Sports Philadelphia sent you, and their phone number is 856-691-6878.
Swag.
So go check them out. And, you know, Game 3 is tonight. We've been talking about that, you know, a lot, but keys to the game tonight, like, we broke that down when we did our Game 1 pregame show, and none of them came true because we turned the ball over immediately. And
I think Matt,
we still have the talking points, and I think they all still are relevant.
Matt's keys to the game were very
basic.
I'm sorry, Matt, but they were kind of lackluster.
if right you there. See them, read them for me, Kyle.
They are outscore them, pass Joel the ball, and don't turn it over 25
That's
times.
What I would say.
All right, so the turnovers thing is still very relevant.
Yes.
Pass Joel the ball, yeah.
Yes and no.
Careful what you wish for.
Yeah, Dylan kind of sums it up right there. Careful what you wish for, because if you pass Joel the ball, I mean, Joel had 31 points in the first game. I don't have the box scores up right now,
but they kind of just let him do what he wanted to do because they were locking down.
I mean, I looked it up before the game. He did all right, but the shooting percentage was not.
Him in the post, he was missing a lot. Him as a three-point shooter was better than some of our three-point shooters.
Which is pathetic.
So, you know... Alex Farrell left a comment and said, are you guys critical of Brett Brown not calling a timeout during the Celtics' 20-point run in the second quarter? You're probably just tuning in. We did talk about that. We talked about that and the whole should Ben have gone in instead of TJ during the, you know, small comeback. I don't think I'm not too critical of him. Like I said, not calling the timeout. You know, they're a young team; they have to learn how to work through those things. And they were saying that in the commentary. Whoever, I don't know if it was Kevin McHale or they were talking at halftime. You know, the other guys.
That's another thing that bothers me that I'll get into as well.
I can already agree with you, but you know, it's a team that, you know, doesn't have a lot of playoff experience. And what are you going to do? Call a timeout and be like, all right, guys, we need to calm down. If you call that timeout, you know, especially with the Celtics making the run they do, that only adds the momentum to the Celtics because now they're coming off the court and saying, oh, look, they had to call a timeout. You know, we got them on their heels. You know, they're scared right now. You know, we're doing it. Let's just keep it up. You know, Brad Stevens doesn't really have to say much, and that's what he's going to say in the huddle. You know, when Brett Brown's saying, look, guys, you know, we got to calm down and you know, you do our stuff, and this is what we're going to do. And
yeah, Brad's probably just hyping his team up at that point.
Yeah, and there's really not much else to say in the huddle other than that. So, you know, you got to let these guys figure it out themselves and you know, work it out and find a way. Because the best teams, they don't need that timeout. They find a way to hit a couple shots.
Absolutely.
The Sixers could have stopped that run with a couple of the shots. They were finding open shots. They just don't make them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the shooting percentages right now on my phone, and they're not pretty yet. Dario 31%, JoJo 37%, JJ had a really good game. He shot 52%, went at 23%, had a lot of
JJ was on fire at the start of the game. And it's funny because Shaq said JJ has to score 20 and the Sixers will win, and it was funny because JJ did score 20 and the Sixers lost.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think Marco JJ did fine. Marco needs to needed to shoot a little better from three. I think he was only like 20. He was like 1-for-4 yesterday. So you hope to see a better 3-point performance out of him tonight, yeah. And that should help us out a lot more.
Marco and Saric have been god awful this series.
Yeah. I mean, Dario, I think the biggest issue, like, from what I'm seeing from Dario is, like, you can see it. Like, I was watching that game yesterday after he missed his first couple shots. He went to go attempt to three, and it looked so, like, it looked so not fluid when he took that shot. It looked like he was unconfident in it at that point. You know, you got to get past that. And I think that's why I hope to see him, now that we're back at home, get that confidence back up, you know what I'm saying, and then go into Boston next time like, all right, like, I can get past this, and, you know, I just can't lose any confidence in myself, you know, because Dario's a hustler, and, you know, you need that on the floor.
And the thing with Marco is Matt talked about, he's like, I hope, you know, he wasn't relying on him, and he's like, I guess this is just, like, Philly bias talking, like, I hope he continues it, but Boston's really putting the clamps down on him and forcing him to actually play defense. He's not coming in as just the role shooter.
That's the good point.
That's something that's killing the Sixers because they're not getting that consistent.
Their offensive scheme really, you know, forces Bellinelli to switch a lot because he gets caught chasing.
Yeah.
And you saw it in game one because he got caught chasing his man a couple times when they didn't even have to switch. And they call the switch, and then because he's still chasing his guy, they give an open backdoor cut. And it's just – they're playing Bellinelli's game against Bellinelli. And you know, you're seeing how he can't guard his own kind of style of play when he should be seeing it, you know, right away. Bellinelli's not the best defender. JJ's obviously a better defender than Bellinelli. And that's not saying much. But, you know – he really needs to step it up, man.
Yeah.
He really needs to step it up.
I mean, it's...
It's bad for my
brand.
That's
an understatement.
It's bad for my brand.
It's real bad for your brand, but, you know, I think they really just need to take the, you know, what they got from game one and two, really dissect what Boston's been doing on defense, and they gotta, you know, find a way to counter it and
I really hope
get back on their brand of basketball.
In the lab right now, just thinking about defense, because like this is just ridiculous. It's not even like they were shooting better than us from three. I think we were shooting like 39%, and they shot 40%, 41%.
It was really close.
It's just they're closing out on our shooters quicker than we can,
and they're killing us in the fast break where we're not getting back on defense. And then it's pretty much like playing 5-on-4, and then even on offense with the way they're playing Ben. It's like playing 5-on-4 on.
That's another thing. Like,
on offense,
Ben Simmons, you knew when he came into this league that he was going to be like really good in transition. But I feel like they're playing so much half court basketball right now. Like towards the end of that game, he grabbed like Ben when he grabbed the rebound, he took off. I remember, and he found he looked like he was going to take it to the rack, and then he dished it, I believe, to Dario or Robert Covington or something like that. But, like that's what you need to see. You need to see them pushing. A lot of times, I watch. When they're on offense, and I think they slow it down too much as soon as they get the rebound. Like this, you have players on this team that are meant to run, you know, like JJ, mm-hmm. Marco, Ben, and even Dario, because, like I said, Dario's always hustling. And you need to see more of that. I like the half-court offense, but I don't think you're utilizing Ben, especially if he can't, since he's not a good shooter, you're not really utilizing him as well as you should.
Yeah, but when the three-point shot isn't falling, the transition offense for the Sixers is just non-existent. So, you know, getting out and breaking into transition, what are you going to do? Just shoot out of your threes? Like,
I mean, people got to cut towards the basket, though. That's what I'm saying. Like,
that's how they know. That's what they know. All you got to do is kind of place one guy. If you can get one guy back in the center to stop Ben from attacking and kicking out, if they're off with their three-point shot, I'll let them keep shooting it all night. You know, I'll tell my team, get back into the post, stop Ben from getting to the bucket, or make it hard for him because he's been off, and then let him kick it out. Let Covington shoot a three, even though Covington was the guy that was hitting his shots.
Yeah.
Let Redick, you know, get a contested shot, you know, with somebody who's trailing. Let Marco shoot. Let Dario shoot. Let Joel shoot. He's not shooting too many threes in a game. So, you know, let them shoot their, you know, shots because they're not hitting them. And if they start, then we make that adjustment. The Sixers, you know, Brett Brown does a good job of, you know, making Ben slow the ball down at times because they obviously need to. Mm-hmm. The momentum in basketball can be shifted by doing that, because if you just get a team and force them into running the ball, they make careless mistakes. And what do the Sixers do? They make careless mistakes.
I think they need to find a balance with that, though, because that's an important part of this offense, is that transition.
Well, normally they'd have that balance. Yeah. And that's the thing. They just haven't had it in this series, which sucks.
And they just need to make adjustments, because I saw a screenshot on Twitter of the defense that the Celtics were playing when Ben had the ball. Ben's outside the arc. Everyone's covered, but Ben's wide open.
Yeah.
Boom. It's because he can't shoot.
Exactly. Shoot. And I know they're going to play him like that, but they've got to come up with a way where, yeah, Ben's going to be your primary ball handler, but they're going to have to find ways to...
Well, normally what it is a ball screen. They do a pick and roll with Ben because they can, and or, you know, you kind of clear out and let him attack because he can get to the rim still. You play off of him, you know, 10 feet, he can still attack the rim and get by you.
Yeah.
And you see it sometimes. He did it. I think Kevin McHale actually commented on it because there was a play, I think in game one, it was in game two. He got by the guy. He missed a layup. But like he said, look at how he can still get to the rim, and you're playing off of him. Normally in a basketball game, if you play that far off of a guy that can't shoot, he's not getting to the rim. Ben has the ability to get to the rim when you play off of him like that and still, you know, be effective. So, you know, whether it's him attacking and kicking out or, you know, Joel hitting a ball screen and doing something there. The Sixers have that. It's just when Ben's off, you don't have to compensate for that and get all your help defense so he can kick it out. That's like the main part of, you know, Ben being as good as he is when he can get to the rim at will, he's scoring, and that calls for help from other guys. He mm-hmm. kicks it out, you know, and that gets the defense moving, and then the Sixers' offense is rolling.
Yeah, and we knew that was going to be a weakness in this series too, is the fact that Ben doesn't really shoot the ball. I wish he would take, like, maybe, like, two or three jumpers from mid-range, you know, try and keep the defense a little honest. But I understand right now it's just not part of his game, you know, and as much as that sucks to say, I mean, it hasn't even been as much as that sucks to say, it's not like it's been a problem this whole season because we've been winning games. So I think, like I said, I think majority of it had to do is, like, we were in a different environment than we were going to be in tonight. But I really feel like this team will do what they need to do to pull out the dub. I think Brett Brown's going to make these adjustments that he needs to do.
And so. Alex Farrell just dropped another comment in the comment section. How do you guys feel about Justin Anderson on Terry Rozier to get Simmons to attempt to neutralize Tatum a bit? He's such a defensive presence, and Brett Brown doesn't utilize him enough, in my opinion.
I agree.
This whole series, I've been wanting to see Ben Simmons guard Jason Tatum. I don't know why they haven't, like,
he doesn't even need to guard
more.
Jason Tatum. You can put our best defender on him, and you can put Covington on Tatum and Ben on Jaylen Brown. But I do agree with the fact that Justin Anderson has been very
good on defense,
you know, underutilized in this series. He hasn't really played. I don't think he's played a single minute. When in the first series, you use Justin Anderson on Dwayne Wade, and he's getting in his head, and he's taking, you know, some of the best players out, and
throws a punch.
He's playing great defense. Why haven't you done it in this series? Like, Justin Anderson needs to play, and thank you, Alex, for bringing that up, because that's something that I was going to completely just pass over. I completely forgot about that point. You need Justin Anderson on Rozier. That's a great matchup. And you know, Justin Anderson is in there for defensive reasons. Justin Anderson can also shoot the three a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, it adds, you know, that extra, you know, option for a scoring chance. Ben's playing defense on somebody he matches up better with, and he can kind of neutralize them. Like Jaylen Brown, who, you know, had a decent game coming back from his injury. Nothing special. And then you put your best defender on arguably one of their best players on the court.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it goes without question.
You know me, I love Simba, bro. That man is, I love players that, like, embody what it is to be, like, a Philadelphia mm-hmm. sports player. And he's one of those people, you know, doesn't take nothing, hype, in your face. Like, that's how you got to be. It sucks that we're not seeing more of him in this series. Like you said, I hope that changes tonight. I hope they realize, like, okay, he's really athletic. He's a good defender, man. Like, even during the season, you could see it when he'll lock you up. So I hope that Brett Brown gives him a chance, gives him some minutes, you know, at least just as a defensive matchup, yeah. At the very least, you know what I'm saying?
And I did toss a poll up on our Twitter page at UndergroundPHI, you know, simple, basic, are the Sixers going to win game three tonight? 10 votes in so far, 30% say yes, 60% say hell yes, 10% say no, in parentheses, you're not a fan.
The haters.
It's probably Celtics yeah. fan chose that one.
So
wait, you put what up?
I put a poll up on our Twitter page at UndergroundPHI. Just simple, will the Sixers win game three tonight? 30% said yes, 60% said hell yes, 10% said no, you're not. And then I put, you're not a fan.
I voted.
So I think, you know, before we wrap up Sixers talk and dive a little bit into the NHL draft and what the Flyers are potentially going to do, what are your guys' keys to tonight's game / who is your player of the game?
You can start.
All right. Player of the game, I'm going with JoJo again. This has been my player of the game the past two games, and it's just because that man, there's nobody on the Celtics who can stop him. There's not many people who can stop him in general, but there's definitely no one in the Celtics who can stop him. I think his biggest issue right now is sometimes he tries to look for the foul a little too much. You know, he needs to be aggressive. Al Horford, as much as he's as well as he's been playing, in the end of the day, it's Al Horford, and he is soft. So you need to take him and just start bodying him in the post. Other than that, turnovers have got to go down. We're not going to win if we keep throwing out like 15 plus turnovers a game. It's just not going to happen. Shooting was better last game, so just keep that up. And if all this is squared away, you know, I think we come out with a dub tonight.
Okay, here we go. Ready? Oh, I tweeted the first one. Play Justin Anderson. Two, we need to still pick it up on the defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
Understand when to switch, when not to switch, because the Celtics have, you know, taken advantage of that, and that's a big problem. We need to make sure that everybody's hitting their shots. Saying the shooting was better is true. However, you know, some of our guys who are shooters on our team have not been shooting, or have been missing their shots, like Saric and Bellinelli. Even though Bellinelli's been hitting the long twos, he hasn't been hitting a couple threes. He had a great one that he missed. He pump faked, nice little. He got his feet set. Bellinelli shot an on balance shot and bricked it.
Yeah.
You got to do better than that. And Ben has to play like his normal self.
Yeah.
Ben has to come out and show that he's mature. And you know, all this talk and press that's been saying, like, oh, he's overrated. Have we overrated the Sixers? And are they really the team that everybody's saying they are? And, you know, all this stuff can only fuel the fire for Ben. And he has to come out and really, you know.
I mean, he said it himself. That he was like, he was in his head, he was in his bag a little bit in that last game. Yeah. That he was
tonight. Tonight, Ben is the player of the game. Ben gets a triple double.
I like it.
Okay,
I like it.
Hot takes.
I'll go last. Who's your player of the game, birthday boy?
Well, Dylan finally with some input.
He's alive.
All right. Well, I'm just gonna say that we have to score more than the other team to win, and
it's like Matt never left.
Wow.
It's good.
Wow. This is gonna probably. Wow. This is thrilling wow. stuff.
Matt 2.0 right here. We're gonna do all these things. Hey, we're gonna win. Fucking off top. No, but player of the game. I guess hopefully let's go with the bounce back game from Dario.
I would love Dylan. I love it. I would love to see a Dario bounce back game. And also, other thing I forgot to say is I want to see everyone hustling like TJ McConnell hustles tonight. You do that, yeah. There's no way we lose this game if you put the, you have the heart and the energy that man puts in every game.
One thing is, it's because he's a smart player.
Yeah, he
does doesn't
have the
force
IQ.
Up his stupid shots. If he dribbles in towards the lane to make a layup, he'll just out. Dribble right back out.
Yeah.
Sometimes they think he's gonna pass and he gets that like little 10-foot shot that he always likes
yeah.
to do. So, you know, TJ's very smart.
Yeah, I think, you know, we gotta play lockdown defense tonight. Like, we can't allow Horford or any of these guys to just be wide open. Like, that's the most frustrating thing I've seen this whole series, is we're allowing guys to just be wide open and just have time to put up a three, and then we find ourselves, you know, getting down bigger. But I think we need to play, you know, more of a lockdown style of defense. Ben can't score just 1 point.
Yeah.
And player of the game.
Something I read on Twitter. Keep going. I'll do it in the
player of the game, JJ Redick.
Okay.
So
Dario, JJ,
JoJo,
triple double Ben.
Okay,
Ben.
There's a, and if you didn't know, we have a Ben Simmons triple double machine shirt on our T Public store.
Get your merch.
Cop that stuff right there.
My boy Dragonfly Jones on Twitter said 4-10-21 is the most Rondo thing Rondo has ever done, and Rondo has done a lot of Rondo things in his Rondo life. And then somebody quoted that and said, stat sheet looks like a date for an Avengers movie.
So wait, his name's Dragonfly Jones. Is that Ryan's burner account?
No, it's not.
Dragonfly Jones. He might have one of those.
I think. Yeah, he does, actually. I follow. We follow each other. It's really funny. I'm not gonna put that out there, though.
Come on, we all know it's Good Takes NBA Pod.
No, it's not that one. It's not. There's another one. Look at this one. I want to see this. It's just asking the question. Never mind. I saw another thing on here that was like talking about the Becky Hammon to Milwaukee thing. And somebody quoted that and said, I'm all for the meltdown of Barstool Sports when Becky Hammon becomes head coach.
Yeah, Barstool Sports is something else.
Barstool, like, don't get me wrong. If you try to check my follower, like, what I follow, I do follow Barstool just because I like to laugh at, you know.
Well, Instagram videos are funny that they post.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and some of the Instagram stuff they post is funny. I also like their Philly correspondents, like Smitty
and those guys.
They have good heads on their shoulders. Everybody else at Barstool is very stupid. You know, very awful view of the world.
Being a Boston-based, you know, like, franchise or, you know, group, they tend to show bias in a lot of their videos.
Yeah.
That's why if you want the best sports analysis.
Britt McHenry is going to eventually become, like, a part of Barstool Sports. Like, she needs to get off of ESPN and head over there.
She's not even on ESPN anymore. Because remember, she got in the altercation
with the... Yeah, but it said, look, there's some complex tweeted that she claimed ESPN demoted her because she was white.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
All right, and now to...
And that's why she's...
And segue!
That's why she's on Fox News now. But
take it away, Kyle.
Yeah, so before we get into some...
Yeah, she's on the news version of Barstool Sports.
Yeah.
So...
Pretty much. But anyway... Our friends over at the Greek Orthodox Church of St. Anthony, their Greek festival is coming up in like 3 weeks, May 24th to the 27th, over Memorial Day weekend.
What's up, Chunk?
Join them for a weekend of food, fun, rides, and great music every Memorial Day weekend from Thursday to Sunday. St. Anthony's Greek Orthodox community celebrates its most popular Greek festival with homemade authentic Greek foods, Greek music and dancing, Greek artifacts and groceries, rides for the kids, raffles, church tours, and plenty of love and smiles for the residents of Vineland and the visitors from all around the Delaware Valley. The festival, over its many years, has been one of the most anticipated events in southern New Jersey and draws crowds that leave filled with an experience that they cannot get anywhere else in the area. Come celebrate with us, with your family and friends, and Underground Sports Philadelphia.
Go get your Euros, bro.
Yeah,
Euros,
cash me at the Euro stand on Thursday night.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'll probably eat like 5.
We're all going to be there, so.
No, I'm kidding,
cash me out there and at the little grandma's tent with all the desserts.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be leaving there with like...
Extra weight?
Like four styrofoam containers worth of stuff plus my Euro.
Makes sense.
Yeah,
or two.
Solid plan. All right, yeah. And I guess we'll talk about Flyers for a little bit, something that I can actually give my 2 cents
good
on.
Good,
or tomorrow.
As I just kind of watched aimlessly you guys talk about the Sixers. Gave my awesome takes, thanks to Matt, you know, I just kind of copied what he had. But it's all right. It's all right, because we're going to predict the outcome. No, but Kyle said it earlier, the Flyers have 2 first-round draft picks this year. That's something to be excited about, not their playoff performance. There's a lot of rumors going around.
Absolutely not, Newton. Absolutely not.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but
never. You never could and you never will.
Newton commented on here and said that he still shoots a lacrosse ball faster than Alex.
Most of you that don't know, it is an inside joke. And we used to have this issue during lacrosse all the time.
Should we do a video about that? Like, record it?
We could.
See if you could do a faster shot?
Let's get a who's got a speedometer? Who's got, like, a speed radar?
I'm burning you.
We can find something.
Let's get a radar gun.
Yeah,
there's probably an app.
We will figure this out.
We'll probably get us a radar gun.
see who's faster?
Unbelievable.
Go viral? Jeez. Yeah, but the Flyers have two first-round draft picks. There's rumors they might trade the two picks to move up and get a better prospect, or they might stay pat and draft two prospects compared to one. There's tons of rumors circulating around the Flyers. They're supposed to move some players. Hextall had a press conference saying that Matt Reed, Johnny Oduya, Valtteri Filppula, and Brandon Manning will not be back next year. Yeah, seriously. Good riddance. But, if the salary cap, I'm reading an article now, it's at $76 million now, and it could go up either to $78 or $82 million. So if it goes up to $82 million with the players leaving, the Flyers would have an excess of about like $20 million in cap space, if not more. So it depends on Hextall. They can be, you know, spenders this off season. They have the money, and if they trade players like Rako Gudas and try to trade Dale Weiss or Yuri Laterra, they can have even more. So they could set themselves up real nicely, and they already are rated the number one prospect pool in all the NHL. So that combined with all that salary cap bodes well for the future of the organization.
Speaking of you bringing up that they might trade stuff, I saw this on Instagram the other day, and I just pulled it up too. It's a mock trade that somebody made up. I don't know how you'd feel about it. I'd be thrilled, kind of. It'd be the Flyers and the Buffalo Sabres. The Flyers would get Ristolainen.
Okay.
And the Sabres would get Michael Roffel, Sam Morin, the 14th pick, mm-hmm. and a 2019 first-round pick.
If they said yes, I would do it, but I don't think they would say yes to that.
If that could happen, I would do that in a heartbeat.
Because essentially that trades us the draft picks because Michael Roffel is not...
Is a throw-in.
He's a salary cap dump.
Sam Morin's an
the
unknown.
The only problem with... that trade is that Ristolainen, I think, makes around $6 million. Let me check real quick. With the cap space, it'll be fine. And you are trading away one of our prospects, so that makes sense. Teams, Buffalo Sabres. I think he makes $6 million, but I think he's locked up long-term, so that'd be a good trade. But I don't think the Sabres are going to trade him because they won the first overall pick in the draft.
Okay.
And the general consensus is this... probably the best defenseman prospect we've seen in the last 15, 20 years. So they could pair Dahlin, the guy who's going to get drafted, mm-hmm. with Ristolainen. So I don't see Sabres making that trade. It wouldn't be in their best interest because Ristolainen's only 23.
Right.
So you'd have a 23-year-old franchise guy locked up until 2022. Plus you have this new guy coming in who's, you know, 18, 19 years old. So yeah. Their blue line would be extremely young. Now, granted, like, you know, the trade, though, I would definitely accept it if it was on the table, but... I don't think Buffalo would do that. I think it would actually be more expensive. Even though Ristolainen had an off year. I think he's a right-handed shot, and right-handed shot defensemen... yeah, he is right. Right-handed shot defensemen have more trade value. So that being the fact that he's 23, he's a franchise player, I think he'd be more expensive than that. But, I mean, if that really was a deal, I would drive him to the airport myself and pick him up.
But yeah, that was something I saw, and I thought it was interesting because you know how much I like Ristolainen as a player, and I know you like him as well.
Yeah.
But other possible trade scenarios in your mind, if they end up trading one or both of the picks for potential players, or if they end up doing, you know, your Wayne Simmonds idea.
Yeah, it's another guy who might get the axe. A decent amount of fans aren't happy about that. I'm seeing it more that on Twitter and Instagram that more people are open to the idea of trading Simmonds. They kind of see that he's a 29-year-old. Well, he'll be 30 when his contract's up. The style of play he plays.
I love the Wayne train, but like, what you're going to say.
He plays a gritty game. I mean, to compare him, obviously Lindros is a lot better than Simmonds, but Lindros is a power forward. He scored, but he played hard. And look, he only played 800 games. So there's no telling of when Simmonds, you know, hustles and plays the way he plays, but he can only have 2 years left. So yeah. if he wants a $6 million or deal, $6 million for 6 years, 2 years into that deal, he could be mush.
Done.
And then he's riding the bench or the, you know, for $6 million a year. So, yeah, I think Simmons being traded, I'm not sure, Kyle, as to what team would take him. I think some teams are interested. I think his off year kind of brought down his value, but I still think he's worth about a first-round draft pick and a mid-tier or lower-end prospect over a first-round pick and, like, a second- or third-line player. There's quite a few teams. Buffalo could be a team. I thought earlier in the year Calgary could be a team because they try to make playoff pushes, and they're pretty aggressive at trading. And other players that could get traded. I mean, there's rumors that Voracek could get traded. There's a lot of rumors because we're all the cap. But players that I see the Flyers trading for, Jeff Skinner of the Hurricanes is an attractive option. He's 26. I think he has one more year left on his deal. He's scored 30 goals three times. He's very fast. I mean, he used to figure skate when he was younger, so he's very elusive. He would be that true sniper that fans always often cry about. He wouldn't be super expensive. I'm not. It would probably be like a first-round pick in the prospect. And like I said earlier, and Kyle said earlier, the Flyers have two first-round picks, so it's really up to Hextall. Because he can draft two players, play it, you know, close to the chest, play it safe. Or he can be daring and trade both picks, acquire players. I mean, the possibilities are endless. There's big-name guys that contracts are ending soon. You have Drew Doughty of L.A. He's uncertain of his future. He has 1 year left on his deal. If Eric Carlson, he has 1 year left on his deal. The list goes on and on of players that the Flyers could potentially acquire. And with all the cap space and expiring contracts, it's up to the manager. They did say they're going to address speed and or scoring this offseason, so I'm not sure as to what he means. He kind of Hextall and the Flyers like to play like mind games, and they keep secrets. So we won't know until our phone blows up saying player X is traded for this.
What's your ideal scenario for what happens with this draft? With the two picks, with Carter. You know.
Well, I initially wanted to move up, but first of all, the draft lottery, the way it was given out was weird. So, you know, like the NHL, in order to get the better picks, it's a lottery. So if you suck, you're not even guaranteed to get a top two pick. So with that being said, the teams that have the lower picks, like I don't see any of them trading out. Like the top five, you have Sabres. They've been bad for a while. They want to keep rebuilding. Hurricanes, they're going to probably want to rebuild. Canadiens, Senators, and Coyotes. So Red Wings, same thing. So Canucks too. So the highest the Flyers can move up is probably 8, 9, or 10. 8 is the Blackhawks, 9 is the Rangers, 10 is the Oilers. The Blackhawks and Rangers don't have good prospect pools, so that could be, if you do both picks and a low-end prospect, they would easily take that trade. But the thing is, I'm not sure if I'm willing to move up from the 14th and 19th pick for the 8th or 9th. So I guess my best case scenario would be, I guess in terms of if we're just drafting players and not moving the picks for players, like, you know, Jeff Skinner's or guys like that, then just draft two players, maybe trade one and a prospect to move up like a pick or two. The guy I like, if he's there, his name is Joel Farabee or something like that. He's a left winger. He scored like 35 goals. And then the other guy I like, it's a Swedish guy. He's a left winger and center. And he's also a goal scorer. I think that's what Hextall needs to draft with both picks. So I want him. So my ideal scenario is him drafting two scoring wingers. And then I want Wayne Simmons traded. As for what, a first round pick and a prospect is fine. I love the guy. He's a great human being, but I don't think he fits into our future plans. And so there's some fans that want him to stay. But if he stays and you don't trade him or sign him, you're risking him walking away for nothing. And from a business point of view, that's terrible. You're losing him for zero gain. So, yeah. Best case scenario, draft two high scoring wingers, trade Simmons to a team that needs a power forward for a first round pick and prospect. Try to trade Rakho Gudas, either that or just hide him somewhere. Do not re-sign Mrazek; he's terrible. I think you re-sign Stolarz and Alex Lyon to 2 to 1 year friendly team contracts. Let them fight for the backup position. Buy out Michael Neuwirth or try to trade him. So your goalies will be Brian Elliott and either Stolarz or Lyon. The loser gets sent down to nurture Carter Hart in the Phantoms, and then 2 years from now, it'll be Carter Hart and whoever else.
I like it. So we'll see what happens. When is Carter the draft again?
The draft is usually in June.
Carter Hart.
Take a look and
Carter Hart.
Really? That's about the same. So is it about
Carter Hart?
Let me see.
We'll dissect some more of the draft. NBA, but
the only thing that matters about the Flyers next season,
June,
is Carter Hart.
It's not going to be next season. But two seasons from now.
There well, goes yeah. Dom's hopes so and dreams.
In 2 years.
So is he a goalie?
Carter Hart.
Yeah, he's a goalie. I did
like literally like very good.
Yeah, he's
he just
the,
won another yeah. award for what the like sixth straight year. Or whatever.
He's won. Is it the third year in the row he for his minor league that he won like so goalie of the year?
Why not bring him up like they did?
It's no because goalies take a very long time to develop in the NHL.
The,
like,
the skill between the NHL and where he's playing
the
is
minor league.
Well,
night and day.
The league he plays in, it's boys. It's 16-year-olds to 19-year-olds. Okay. It's legit boys.
Young.
NHL is men. It's 19-year-olds to 40-year-olds. So it's a huge difference.
Like Phil Kessel.
Phil the Thrill Kessel. Oh, man. That man's a living meme. But,
Kessel
yeah, there's yeah. so many. But no, yeah, Alex, he's very good. He's like one of the best goalie prospects in a while. That's probably Hextall's
too spicy.
best spicy. Draft pick.
Yeah, it's dope.
Yeah, hopefully.
But
Carter Hart.
Before we sign off, final look at the poll we put up earlier about the Sixers winning tonight. Only 7% of you said no, so everyone's on board for the
Shout
most part.
Everyone.
Shout out to that one
7%. Haters.
Yeah.
Don't vote in our polls anymore.
Final statement.
JJ puts up 30.
Final statement.
Wow.
Score more than another team?
JJ, no, I'm sorry. JoJo with a 25-plus point at very minimum a double-double.
Okay. White rice is too spicy. Change my mind.
Just see you looking at that.
No.
All right.
Carter Hart. That's my final statement. Carter Hart.
And we're going to set up that thing with Brian Newton and Alex for
Yeah, let's do it.
Cross shot.
I'm about it.
We're
yeah, me too, man.
We're
I'm ready
do
to
that.
Because I'm going to step in and show him the business.
Okay. So. But
Alex said, okay.
Happy happy Cinco de Mayo. Happy birthday to Dylan's old ass right here.
Hey, happy birthday.
2022, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Final statement. Respectfully celebrate Cinco de Mayo. Don't wear a sombrero. Don't
yeah,
do
man.
Any of that stupid stuff.
It's
and,
not about that.
And also, if
it's
you're...
It's not from, Mexico's if, independence.
Yeah, if you're Mexican and your family's from Puebla, celebrate like none other. If your family's not, kind of take a seat. Shout out to my man Marty After Dark for that one.
But this has been another Sixer Saturday Flyers Afternoon Skate. I'm sure Matt will be back next week.
I miss you, Matt.
And we'll keep it rolling. But for Dom, Alex, and Dylan, I'm Kyle. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you guys on Wednesday for another Wednesday edition.
Hopefully
talking Eagles and Phillies.
Yeah, I'll be back. I won't have a Tinder date. I'm sorry.
And on that note, we'll talk to you guys on Wednesday. Peace.
Yeah, Alex, he tied the record.